What I'm loving about today is all the pressure's off because you've already heard a couple of sermons. Well, this is good. I can just kind of stand here and smile. But let's pray. Lord, you are a good God. Thank you that we have had the opportunity to hear Mom share about your care over their children and your care over them and their family. Thank you, Lord, that we've been able to sing praises to you and talk about that wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we've heard your scripture read, that you are the good shepherd, and you know us by name, and you still love us anyways. So, Lord, as we go to another step in our service, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with us. Empty this part of me and fill it with you. Amen. So this is great. I don't have to talk for very long. Today is what I'm going to call a toolbox Sunday. And I used to be a tradesman. I don't know, we might have some other tradesmen here. But most of you have a toolbox somewhere. Some of you may have one of those like real shiny toolboxes, and they're all nice. My toolboxes are always beat up and smashed. And I forgot to bring the toolbox I wanted to bring. I'm going to bring it next Sunday. And it's my dad's. And when we were going through my dad and my sister's house a couple of weeks ago, my nephew and I were going through my dad's tools, and I would look at him and say, hey, do you want the bandsaw? He goes, yeah, I want the bandsaw. I said, hey, do you want the chop saw? He goes, yeah, I want the chop saw. And after we did this about five or six times, I said, is there anything here you don't want? He goes, nope. I said, well, look, kid, I'm taking the toolbox. And the toolbox is leather. My dad hated banging toolboxes because we'd go up to a roof, we'd tie the rope around the handle of the toolbox and pull it up, and it kind of get banged around. So what he wanted a big leather case. And it's just basically a bucket with a handle. And what he liked about that is he could see everything that was in there. I liked it because I could see it, and if he stole any of my tools, I knew where he found them. Then he got more creative and put them in his pocket. But I'm calling this a toolbox Sunday because your toolbox is something that you can fix stuff with. And when there's this problem, you can go to your toolbox and you take the resources out of the toolbox to fix what you got to fix. So this morning, I want you to consider this as a toolbox Sunday. That this may not be new for some of you, and that's good. But it may be a little reminder that you've got a tool for a situation that you might face over the next little while. And what I want to talk about this morning are two things. The first thing I want to talk about is the most important thing God wants you to know. The primary calling that you have by God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, is to be an object of God's love. And I'm going to kind of quantify this. I never had grandparents. They were very impolite and died before I could meet any of them. But I have this image of what a grandparent is like. The grandpa is kind of like Grandpa from the Waltons. You know, some of you may know. He's funny. He's constantly teasing his wife, who's constantly annoyed at him. But he's just knowledgeable and handy and fun. He wears overalls. And he just knows stuff. Where a grandma to me, in my head, it's just that lady that just loves having you around. And when your parents are giving you a hard time, she steps in and says, not in my house. And she protects you from your parents. And she reminds your parents of what they were like when they were your age. And that stops them in their tracks. And when you go over, they always have like this special drawer with stuff just for you. And occasionally there's aroma of freshly made cookies that are just for you. Where they just want you in their presence. They don't care if you're passing in school. They don't care if you've made the team. They just want you happy. They just want you healthy. So that is my image of what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit's love is for. Like, they just want us to know we're objects of that love. That grandparent love that says, I don't care how dirty you are. You just come and you give me a big hug. And you're the only one that can sit in my chair, and God help your dad if he goes to sit in my chair. But you can sit there and smile at him when you're sitting in my chair. The second thing I want to try to get across this morning is our next calling that God wants you to do is just be you. There's not a rank you got to go for. There's not backflips that you got to perform. God just wants you to be you. That person he thought of from the beginning of creation and said, oh, that's my beauty. That is my masterpiece. That is my Mona Lisa that I'm putting on the wall and let everybody come and say, isn't that amazing? God just wants you to be you, and he doesn't care what context you're doing it. He just wants you to be you. I'm going to use a couple of illustrations this morning, and please, I'm not trying to offend anyone. But when I sometimes think about God, I think about Springy. Springy came into our life in 2007. January 31st, 2007 was one of our harder days. My wife's dad died of a massive heart attack. He was out playing tennis, having a great time, probably cheating a little bit on the ball calls, and he dropped dead of a heart attack. Totally unexpected. None of us were prepared. And it was devastating. And I know I've mentioned a few times, my wife lost a sister a number of years before that, and Susie went into a pretty dark depression. And her world started spiraling again. And some of you know what it's like when you wrestle sometimes with mental health and you feel like the spiral started. So we had just lost a very, very beloved Bouvier. And I was looking into getting another dog. And I had almost got my hands on an English Bulldog with a breeder call that we had got one of our boots from. And she says, look, I got a dog. She's 2 years old. She's got the most mild case of hip dysplasia. But you can have her as long as you spayed her. So we went over and we met that. That, at the time, was 85 pounds of pure muscle and energy. She just wanted to be everybody's friend, but didn't know how to play nice. Have you ever seen those kids that are just rough, and they want to play with nice things, but they just can't because they're just rough? That was Springy. She loved people. She just didn't realize that she was stronger than most people and would knock them over. And she was wild, because she was raised with a bunch of other Bouviers, and she was younger, so she wasn't top of the pecking order. And this is what God did in God's wisdom. He drove my wife crazy, because he gave her a dog that needed to be loved in a special way. So Sue and this dog had to go to dog training all the time. And when they went to McCain's dog trainers, they kept saying, the dog's got to keep its eyes on the master. And Sue goes, I know I too need to keep my eyes on the master. And this was the most faithful dog we've ever had. Because it didn't matter what your day was like, this dog literally wanted to be on top of you. She just loved you. If you came over to our house and you were smart enough to walk in, because our dogs are trained that if you walk in, you belong. If you knock, then you get eaten. But if you just walk in and you sit on the couch, you know where that dog is? That dog's right on top of you. Because she thought you were her new best friend. Now when I think of that faithful love, I think of God. Because God gives us certain things and people in our life that remind us of his love. And I think of a faithfulness of a loving God that says, I don't care if you've had a bad day, I don't care if you had a horrible day, I will love you. I don't care if you smacked me yesterday or didn't feed me this morning, I choose to love you. And that reminds me a little bit of that love that God has for us. This enduring, this faithful love that loves us on good days, loves us on bad days, loves us on bad hair days. Oh, come on! But God loves us that kind of love. He just says, I want to love you. And that kind of love changes us. In 1 John, in the little letter, 1 John 4, verses 18 to 19, it says, this kind of love, it has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're not afraid, if we are afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced this perfect love. And we love each other because he loved us first. And what I love about that kind of love, it says, I'm allowed to be a screw-up. And God still loves me. Because his love for me isn't about my performance. So on days when I am a terrible husband to my wife, and I am some days, God still loves me. On those days when I was not a great son to my mom and dad, God still loved me. On those days when my sisters wished they could have put me in a crate and shipped me somewhere far away, God still, and there was a lot of days like that, God still loved me. On those days when I blew it as a coach and I infuriated my players, God still loved me. On those days that I just mailed it in as a minister and hid somewhere and didn't want to do what I wanted to do, God still loved me. in the way he still loves you. Because he can't not love us. I know it's terrible English when you grammar people, forgive me. I don't know if you remember the original Shrek movie, but I there was something about Shrek that I liked. And Shrek was trying to explain what ogres are like. He said, ogres are like an onion. We have layers. And I love that. Because, you know, to me, God is a little like an onion. I'm not much of a cook. But what I like about onions, if I cut the top part, the bottom part off, and I get the layers, the outside layers off, I can eat the whole thing. And what I love about God is, as you peel the layers off God, everything is edible. It's still an onion. And when I think about God, at his core, he's love. This is what 1 John 4:7, to 10 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Wow. And God showed his love for us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Now this is real love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. And what I love about this onion God is when you keep peeling back the layers, you keep getting love. You peel a layer back and you go, oh, yeah, he's righteous, but he's also love. You peel another layer back and it's, oh, he's sovereign, but he's still love. Oh, I'm going to pull out some big words now. You pull another layer up and he's omnipotent. I learned that in seminary. He's still love. You pull another layer back and he's omnipresent. Oh, and as you keep getting all these layers, this love filters through. How cool is that? Have you ever got a chocolate that tastes good, but then it's just a layer that's hollow on the inside? And you're like, here's the rest of it. You know, and it's good, but you kind of want to throw it back. But the love of God, he's solid love all the way through. And he says, I want to love you like that. And what's cool about God's love is an action kind of love. I'm not good in English, like, honestly, I'm not. But love to me is a verb. It's an action. Love isn't just a stagnant thing. Love is an action. And I love how God says, you know what my love does? My love goes. My love takes off. My love is not stationary. My mom, like many of you, was an action mom. That lady was always doing something. Like, it was exhausting to watch my mom. But everything she did was love for the family. Whether it was washing dirty clothes, making meals, caring for the house, disciplining my sisters when they needed it, which was never hardly enough. My mom was love in perpetual motion. That's what God is. He's that God that says, my love takes action. I just don't sit around. I'm busy. You know what busy things I did? I sent my kid. My kid said, I love you too. And he went. Love is that love that goes out of its way to do things for us. God went out of its way to do stuff for us. You know why? Because you are lovable. Even Sandra over there is lovable. Sandra's great. We're friends. But God says, I love you and you're worth it. So not only is my son going to go and do things, he's going to give something up that will give you a wonderful gift. It's going to cost him his life. It's going to be terribly painful. But that's love and action. And God didn't do that just for the righteous. He did it for the unrighteous too. That can be hard sometimes, isn't it? Because sometimes we just want God to just do things for the good people. But God put sunshine on the righteous and the unrighteous. The rain falls on the righteous and the righteous, and his love is like the sunlight that shines. God does not discriminate in his love towards humanity. But friends, you ever find that some people you sunblock? Some people don't want to accept that love. Some people walk around with an umbrella saying, no, that I don't accept that love. Some people live in the dark. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we say, God, you know, I'm not worthy of your love. Or, God, I haven't done enough to accept your love. My poor mother-in-law used to think she had to do stuff to earn her keep. I'd say, Mom, you having a good day? She goes, well, I'm working on earning my keep. And I go, oh, Mom, really? Everyone in this house loves you. Just be you, Mom. Have a down day. My mother-in-law is now learning that in her 80s. But how wonderful is it to know that God loves us because we are lovable? Dear Ernestina, where are you? I love when you read Scripture. And what I love about Ernestina, she's a real person. You talk to Ernestina for 5 minutes, you hear about her kids, and you know she's a real person. She worries over her kids, she fusses over kids, and they're all grown-ups, great people. But she's real. So Ernestina, when you read Scripture, there's this wonderful authenticity. And I love that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. John 10 is probably my favorite passage in all of Scripture. Because it's Jesus saying, you want to know what I'm like? I'll tell you what I'm like. If you want to know what God the Father's like, you go to Exodus 34 and you hear what God the Father's like. But I love that Jesus picks up this imagery that David, his far, far ancestor did when he wrote Psalm 23 about the good shepherd. But here's a few points I want to make about Jesus as a good shepherd. He knows his sheep by name. One of my favorite points in a rugby season is when I know every boy's name on my team. You know why? Because I can yell at them by name. Oh, I love that. They'll be on the field thinking they're I don't know who they are, and I go, hey, Phil Johnson, you make sure you make that tackle. It's like, oh. And what they have to do is when I yell their name, they have to look at me and have to wave. And what the wave means is, I know, coach, I screwed up. If they don't look at me and do the wave, then they're off the field a few seconds later. Because I need them to own what they've done. And I love that Jesus says, I know you by name. Because I knew the name you were going to have at the beginning. I love that Jesus said, I will call you by name. He doesn't just know your name, but he calls you by name. On Thursday nights, we have the funnest program with the kids. And it's so fun to call the kids by name and go do stuff. One of my little buddies is Luke. And Luke's hilarious. And whenever we play the Hungry Animal games, he always seems to think I'm the wildebeest that needs to be eaten. I'm not sure why. But how fun is it when you play with a child, you say, hey, Luke, walk me back to the other room so I don't get eaten by the crocodile. And they automatically know that you know their name, and they put that little hand up and you walk with them. That's what Jesus says. I call you by name because I know your name. And as Ernestina said, it takes time, but we learn his voice. Do you remember those times as a kid when you were ignoring your mom and dad's voice and the tone and the timbre started to change? And there was that point that you thought, if I respond now, I will get punished. If I don't respond now, I will now go to the point of no return. And there will be a plank, and I will have to walk it. Jesus says, learn to cultivate the sound of my voice. I love how Ernestina said, sometimes we hear the sound of God speaking to us on a Sunday morning with our welcome to people. Sometimes our people who work the doors are the most important people in our church because they set the tone of how you. And some people are just so good at saying, hello, good morning, it's nice to see you. It just makes us feel loved. It makes us feel welcome. It makes us feel cared for. So thank you, Jesus. And sometimes it's those people we chat in our pews, and we chat in the foyer, we chat over here, we chat down in the gym, and we just hear something we needed to hear. We needed to hear, hey, how'd that thing you talked about last week? I've been praying for that. And it's like, wow. And sometimes on a Sunday, it's a line in a song we sang that Deanna has chosen. We go, oh, hey, how did you know I needed to hear that this day? Sometimes it's a story from moms, from wives, from daughters. Sometimes, occasionally, Garfield and I will stumble upon something you kind of go, oh. But so often, it's God's word being read to us that reminds us of the truth. And the shepherd says, learn the sound of my voice. And as you learn the sound of my voice, follow me. Learn to run away from a voice that's not mine. But I will lead you out. I will call you and I will lead you out. And when trouble comes, I will put myself between you and trouble. I will lay my life down if I have to. You're that valuable to me. But I'll tell you this. When you say you're mine for eternity. And although the evil one will tell you otherwise, you know what happened? You go in the palm of my nail-scarred hand, and I hold you in my grip. My hand is covered in my Father's name. No one can take you out of my grip. sometimes mom, dad, grandparents, we need to remind ourselves that our children are God's children. If they have made a childhood commitment to God, if they've made a childhood in their teens or their young adulthood, some of us love people who have at the time said yes to God, and they're not acting like it. They're still in His grip. God's DNA runs through them, and He will call them back. So friends, as we end, I want to encourage you, accept that love. But be who you are in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about being somebody else. Be you. Because you're His handiwork. You're His masterpiece. You're not to be somebody else. God wants you to use the gifts He has given you of kindness, joy, mercy, love, faithfulness, in the context that you live your life. God is never so concerned about what you do as how you do what you do. Because you're His kid. And you show Him off. And you show people what He's like. You live this out. Because there's this huge difference between what we do or have to do and who we are. As you live out the gifts of the Spirit, the individual gifts and talents that God's given you in the things that you do, you make this world a better place. As we end this morning, I want to call a few people out on stuff. Some of you do this incredibly well. Alice Dobler is one of the most serving people. She's going to be annoyed that I'm even talking about her. And when she's pulling weeds and planting flowers, you know who she's doing it? She's doing it in the name of Christ. When she made chili with that dear Joy Shanley, and they were just loving on that group of PTSD people last week, they were living out who God called them to be in kindness and mercy. When people like Evelyn Walker are making a quilt, they're living out what God called them to do. When you think about Kathy McNabb running around like a crazy person who's serving in the nursery today, you know, she was in our church kitchen about four times this week, doing things that just needed to be done, whether it was drop-in or the presbyterian meeting on Tuesday or luncheon after church last Sunday. She just does it. But that kindness, that mercy comes out. When I think about Rory Fred and he's putting boxes together in his son-in-law's business, he's being Christ to those young whippersnappers. And Rory is loving them. And his humor and his kindness makes that a safe place. When I think about our dear Bob, our custodian, whether he's on the drums or cleaning up the building, he's doing it in Christ's name with kindness and mercy. When Martha Wells, who I love, is taking people on tours of the Heritage Museum, she's doing it in Christ's name. We see it when she greets. She makes you feel welcome whether you want to or not. Because she's being who God called her to be. When Danny back there is telling his wonderful jokes, or Wayne is, they're being who God called them to be. And God says, I want you to be you in the context that you live your life. Don't think you've got to measure up to some standard that you make up in your head that's crazy. Just be my kid. Live that out. So as you go from here, friends, and you think about this toolbox, and you're talking to somebody, and they maybe have a distorted view of God, gently say to them, you know what God really wants? He just wants you to be loved. You don't have to behave a certain way. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do all that religious stuff. First thing God wants you to do is just be an object of His love. God just wants to love you. And then when you talk about what it's like to be in a relationship with God, to say, you know what God wants? He just wants you to be happy. He wants you to be you. But you can't really quite find who you are unless you're in a relationship with Him. And that relationship begins with love. And it begins with a freedom. Freedom to screw up. Freedom to make mistakes. You hang around Tracy and I long enough, you'll see we make lots of mistakes. But God's okay with that because He loves us. And we try not to make the same mistake twice. So friends, as we end this time, I hope you leave today with what God wanted you to get. Whether it was in the greeting of the door, whether it was in the foyer, maybe in the coffee time after. Maybe it was in the songs that we sang. Maybe it was in the scripture. Maybe it was something that Sandra said, Ernestina said, or I said. But leave here with something from the Lord. If a gift I can give you is this, be loved. Be loved. And then just be you. Because the you that you are is a masterpiece to God. So just accept that. And just shine. Lord, thank you for this time. Pray, Lord, that we would receive from you what you want us to receive whenever that happened this morning, or might still happen. Lord, help us to not use sunblock or hide in the cellar from your love as it shines on us like the sunshine. Help us to receive that love. Help us, Lord, to have the freedom and not be afraid to just go be us. So, Lord, thank you that we can share that hope with others. We can share that liberty with others. We can share that gift with others.